from the Mercy One Studio.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good Thursday morning from the Mercy One Studios in West Des Moines. I'm Deacon Mike Mano, and I'm here with Gina Noll. Gina, how are you?
I'm well. Good morning, good. Deacon Mike.
Good. A little warm in the studio.
It's warm today. Everywhere. It's
2 weeks from now, we're going to be at the Iowa State Fair, and I can't imagine how it's going to be there.
I'm hoping that it gets this heat out of its system.
Yeah,
I hope so,
too.
It gives us some nice, mild days.
I hope so, too.
No rain. Yes, I'm hoping, and it's we're glad to be back. Last year, there was no fair. And there was no Iowa Catholic radio booth.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So this will be...
So at least we're getting back to normal. Somewhat back to normal.
It feels like it. Yes, mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
So we'll have a tent at the Iowa Catholic radio. We'll have a tent at the fair.
Probably not an air-conditioned one.
No, but I think it's in the shade. It's on the west side of the Ann and Bill Riley
stage. Yeah,
it's near
the Bill Riley stage, right.
And there'll be priests and deacons joining us every day.
Right.
And we'll be there from early in the morning until late in the afternoon, evening.
Right.
I'm looking forward to our show on mm-hmm. the grounds on Thursdays for 2 weeks in a row. That'll be fun. And we can have lunch with the corn dogs and all the other fried
foods. Oh, that's
foods.
Right. That's right. We can have all the fair food we want while we're out there.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not a big fair person. I usually go out one day of the fair, but we'll be out there 2 days now, so maybe I'll find some things I
you might
don't
start to
look
enjoy
at.
The
yeah,
fair.
That's right. That's
maybe.
Right. I remember my mom telling me when her father flew in to visit, you know, from Philadelphia. So he flew in from Philadelphia to visit his daughter, and one of the things he wanted to do was to go to the state fair. And I think she took him out there 3 or 4 days while he was here. Yeah.
Well, thanks to the musical, it's an internationally acclaimed state fair. We need to keep it at that echelon, so that'll be good.
Well, we got an interesting show today. We're going to talk to attorney Daniel Bloomberg from the Beckett Fund about this case against the University of Iowa by InterVarsity. And we're gradually progressing against these universities that are denying religious entities, religious groups, their place on campus.
That's right. They're silencing them.
Canceled. You're canceled.
They deserve their First Amendment rights, just like any other American citizen. Mm-hmm. And, I talk about this every time we do a college case like this. I don't understand why the universities don't get the message. Very few of these cases. I mean, I've never heard a case where the students have lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're getting the message, and the question of qualified immunity for the
right.
administrators
so this
come up.
Particular
and so we're going to
case.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it goes one step further and might silence some of the
hopefully
universities.
Hopefully it will. You have a prayer to open us up with.
I do. A prayer for peace today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of this earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Strengthen all of us in hope, and give us the wisdom and the courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Gina. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we will be back with Daniel Bloomberg from the Beckett Fund in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Caldwell Parish, for underwriting Iowa Catholic Radio. Conform to the wishes of the deceased and to Catholic liturgical burial traditions. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home, Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. CaldwellParish.com.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance for families to send their kids to our Catholic schools and 65% Iowa tax credits for you. Give to ctoiowa.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production. And we're back. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. And with us right now is Daniel Bloomberg from the Beckett Fund. Daniel, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. We called you about InterVarsity versus the University of Iowa. University of Iowa has been in a little bit of trouble over these religious liberty cases, and this is just another one, I suppose, to another notch on their belt, or against them anyway. Why don't you, for the listeners that are not familiar with the case, why don't you give us the elevator version of it?
Sure. So the University of Iowa has hundreds of student groups on campus that are just private student groups that meet together to do a bunch of different things that basically the students want to do. You know, the students get to form their own groups and decide what they want them to be about and then organize them to accomplish those missions. A big part of that are the religious groups on campus, including InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. InterVarsity has been an award-winning part of the University of Iowa for over 25 years. I think it's getting close to 30 years at this point. And unfortunately, a few years ago, the university approached it and the other religious groups on campus and told them that you can't ask your leaders to agree with your faith. Now, InterVarsity responded and they said, hey, religious groups need religious leaders, just like political groups need leaders that agree with their faith and or their beliefs. And, sororities and fraternities need to be able to make reasonable distinctions based on their missions. We have a mission, too. It's a religious mission, and we need somebody who believes in the God that we pray to. And the school said, no, you can't do that. Even asking them to be a Christian at all for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, even asking them to be a Christian at all is religious discrimination. And so you're out. 25 years here, now you're out, and you know there's nothing you can do about it. And so that's why we had to sue. Because
now 25 years back seems to go close to when we last won a Rose Bowl. Now this reminds me of a lot of Business Leaders in Christ.
That's right. And Business Leaders in Christ was kind of the precursor for the university going after the religious groups. There was a very small group on campus, Business Leaders in Christ, or BLINK, as they called it, their acronym, had started just a couple years before, started by a couple of young women in the business school, and their purpose was to learn how to be business leaders while also being Christians. And they had a student that wanted to not just join their group, everyone was welcome to join their group, but wanted to lead their group, and he disagreed with their faith on the issue of marriage. And he thought that same-sex marriage was fine. They disagreed with that, and he filed a complaint with the university saying that was discriminatory. And the university went after him. They kicked off BLINK. And we sued there, too, and we won there, too. And the federal district court, told them that they had to stop kind of engaging in selective enforcement of their non-discrimination policy. They let the sororities and fraternities discriminate based on sex. They let all sorts of other groups discriminate based on all sorts of other things, including race and sexual orientation and things like that. But they wouldn't let BLINK ask its leaders to share its faith, to actually agree with it.
How long ago was the BLINK case resolved? Decided.
The BLINK actually just got finished this April. So it started in 2017, and then about a year after that, that's when the university turned its sights not just on BLINK but on all the other religious groups and got them kicked off as well. And so that's when the InterVarsity case started in 2018. And so the last couple months are when the cases have finally come to a resolution, and we've gotten wins at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a federal appellate court over Iowa. And in April, they said that Blink wins, and then just this month, they said that InterVarsity wins.
And they're both on the University of Iowa campus. So there's a movement there, or there's probably
there's an animus there.
Right.
Call a spade a spade. There's an animus there.
And it has to be something more recent than in the past, which is very unfortunate. But InterVarsity had a piece to that case that was different than Blink that might scare them, the administrators themselves, in doing this into the future.
There was a question of qualified immunity for the administrators.
They could be sued individually.
Yeah, so actually both cases were about that issue. Both cases were about the question of whether the university administrators have immunity from violating their own students' First Amendment rights. And there was no question that that's what the university had done. It had violated the First Amendment. It didn't just violate one part of it. It wasn't just the free speech clause. It wasn't just the free association protections. It was also the free exercise clause. Mm-hmm. The district court found they violated all three, and very clearly. But it was a question of whether the law was clear enough that the government officials here could be held responsible for their own actions. And that's what the court said twice now, resoundingly, is that it's hard to imagine a clearer example of unconstitutional conduct than what happened here.
One of the problems with qualified immunity, as I understood it, is that for some administrators, they could argue that the law was not that clear, that maybe they had an outlier case that they were looking at, saying, well, this doesn't make it clear that what we did was wrong. How did the court address that, and where's that go in the future now, since University of Iowa has been stung twice?
Yeah, so what the court said was, actually, it's really clear. It's not just established by the U.S. Supreme Court's case law going back for decades, but also by our own case law going back for decades. The bottom line rule is you can't discriminate against a religious or against a student group because you don't like what their viewpoint is. And that's exactly what the university did here. And so now, but this was the first time that this particular issue had reached the Court of Appeals in this posture where they were being asked, hey, do we have qualified immunity here? And the court said, no, you don't. And so that means every other administrator, especially in the Eighth Circuit, which is a bunch of different states in the middle of the country, but also nationwide, are on notice that if they do this kind of thing against other religious student groups, then they're going to have to be personally accountable for it.
Well, that's an incredibly clever way to go about it, because I'm just amazed that every time we cover a story on a legal case against students who've had their First Amendment rights violated on a campus, the students win. And it surprises me that any university would continue to do this, knowing that there's
We've been doing this show for about 6 years now.
Sure.
And we've had dozens of these cases that we've talked about. And in each case, the students win. And in each case, the university does the same darn thing over again.
Yeah, right.
They won't now, I don't think.
I think this
Very Daniel, clever. There was a case out in the east, and I forget whether it's from Virginia or West Virginia, but had some of the same arguments involved. And I believe that one was going up to the Supreme Court. And that one also dealt with this issue of qualified immunity for the administrators. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about, or did I dream it?
Yeah. There's been a couple of cases going on that have raised similar issues. One, the one you were talking about that just went to the Supreme Court recently, came out of Arkansas, and it was a case it wasn't the same question about whether you can discriminate against a group because of its leadership selection. It had more to do with where you were allowed to speak and things like, could you set up a table? And when you're speaking and things like that. And so the Supreme Court ended up not taking that case.
Okay.
But there was Justice Thomas issued a statement on it saying that, hey, you know, qualified immunity is something that makes a lot of sense, perhaps, when we're talking about police officers who have to make snap decisions, you know, that are life or death in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make much sense at all when we're talking about university administrators. We have lots and lots of time to think this through, and there's lots and lots of guidance for them about how to respect First Amendment rights. And the Eighth Circuit, when it ruled in the InterVarsity case just a couple weeks ago, they picked up on what Justice Thomas said, and they said, yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, this isn't a case where it was a life-or-death decision, you had to make a decision in an instant. This was a slow-rolling train wreck of a group of decisions by a bunch of administrators who had all the time they needed to make the right choice, and they made the wrong choice anyway.
Knowingly made the wrong choice.
That's right. And there already been a couple of the federal district court was actually very frustrated in this case because she said,
is that
hey,
Judge Rose?
I told you, yes, that's right. That's right. You know, she had to rule on several times in these cases. She had to rule on two preliminary injunctions to get the university to stop doing what it was doing, and then a couple of final injunctions when it was saying, okay, the case is over and this is how you have to act in the future. And when we were having oral argument in the InterVarsity case a couple years back, she said, listen, I told you not to do X, and you came back and you did double X. It's not just the opposite of what I told you, you did worse. I told you to stop discriminating against Blink, and then you came back and discriminated against all the religious student groups.
Very good. So
maybe we're getting some common sense in the judiciary.
I think the courts have done a good job in a series of cases. And we actually just had another opinion come down in a case in Michigan against Wayne State University, who was discriminating against an InterVarsity chapter over there for the exact same reason, because they had religious leaders. And the court there said, you not only violated the free speech and free exercise and free association protection of the First Amendment, you also violated the religion clauses, because the government's not allowed to muck around in the internal affairs of a religious group and tell them who gets to be their religious leaders. That's something that only religious groups get to do. So there's a clear trajectory to the case law here, saying that the government can't discriminate against religious student group in their religious leadership selection.
I imagine they're still going to try.
The government can take a while to learn. That is certainly true.
Especially school administrators these days, we're finding out. What is the status of the case now? The case has been decided by the Eighth Circuit. Babbling from the University of Iowa that they may try and seek certiorari on that?
No. There's no indication that'll happen. Our understanding is that the next steps in both cases will be to just resolve kind of the final procedural matters at the district court level. So the merits of the case has been resolved, and both Blink and InterVarsity and all the religious student groups at the University of Iowa.
That's what I was going to ask. So all those groups will, coming into the school year, be able to reestablish themselves and run under the protections of the First Amendment.
We think.
That's right. That's right. And we actually had, because InterVarsity sued a couple years ago, as soon as they sued, the university backed down and said, okay, we'll let you all back on. So they've been on for a couple years now, but the university was always saying, hey, we can kick you back off anytime we want. And so now with this final win, everyone can kind of breathe a sigh of relief.
Just out of curiosity, with the nullifying the qualified immunity, but how many administrators would be involved in being sued under this provision? I mean, are we talking
about...
There are
about five or six. There are about five or six involved in this case, in these two cases.
Usually it's just one or two, so I'm glad to know that... they have, you know, there's a big pool of people that can be targeted, and it won't proliferate itself if they know they'll be sued.
Beckett handles a lot of different types of cases. I know I just wrote my column for The Wander on an Indian matter that you had going out, and I think it was in Oregon. If people want to find out more about what Beckett is doing, or, in fact, if they need help from Beckett, how do they do that?
They can go to beckettlaw.org. So BECKETLAW.org. And that'll give you all the information about all the different cases we have going on. They'll give you the contact information. If anyone has a question, they need to reach out to us and you can talk to them about. And we'd be happy to point them in the right direction.
Actually, the website is nicely laid out. It's easy to navigate and get around in. And there's also a place, I think, where people can go and make some secure donations if they'd like, because your services are pro bono.
That's right. That's right. We don't charge our clients anything.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you very much for being with us today. Congratulations on your win over the University of Iowa. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Attorney Daniel Blumberg from the Beckett Fund. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we will be right back after these messages.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading 12-day all-inclusive experiences, sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. Thank you to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
And we're back. You're listening to Faith on Trial, Iowa Catholic Radio. Gina, that was an interesting conversation we had with Daniel. We've, as you mentioned, we've talked about some of these things before, and this, the cases keep coming up and keeping coming up and coming up, and just the names change, but the facts are basically the same. Somebody's being discriminated over their religious beliefs, and they go to court and they lose, and then the universities do the same darn thing.
I couldn't help but think about all of the mandatory trainings that administrators have had dumped on top of them over the last 24 months in terms of wokeness. Perhaps they need a class or a training in the rights of the students under the First Amendment. So well, that they're well aware of the... And first of all, you know, I'm not a Hawkeye, but except by marriage, but it disgust me the amount of money these legal cases must cost taxpayers and foundation members and students.
You know what's the worst part of it? They're going to have to pay Beckett.
Well, it's great that Beckett gets the money. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad about that.
Beckett is
going to
be
because
paid.
They do great things.
Right.
But
that's what usually happens in these things.
It's a poor use
right?
of our tax dollars or mm-hmm. tuition money anyway.
Well, and that's nice to know that qualified immunity for college administrators is kind of on its way out. Because they keep making these dumb decisions over and over again, and they do it hiding behind the idea that this is discrimination or anti-discrimination action. You know, you can't discriminate against somebody on the basis of their religious beliefs. So you got to let atheists and everybody else into your Christian organization, and you have to let them stand for leadership positions too. That was the BLM case.
Sure, and I can't help but believe that the administrators are rewarded for their hostility towards religious organizations under our current societal cultural norms. And that's unfortunate for our universities. Diversity is important both culturally as well as religiously on our campuses. And I also hope that these groups are causing some uncomfortableness, if that's a word, for our other organizations on campus so that Christ is part of the campus life. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they keep coming after those groups makes me think that they're making a difference on the campus life for the students there who are Christians and of other religious faiths.
It is interesting, though, that they keep coming after the Christian groups.
Yeah, it's the popular thing to
do. That's right, that's right. All right, a couple other things that is going on right now. As you know, the... excuse me, the Veterans Administration has issued a mandate for vaccinating all their vaccinating is
vaccinating
to vaccinating their workers. And Liberty Counsel, a firm that specializes in First Amendment religious freedom litigation, is challenging that. And Matt Staver, the president of Liberty Counsel, says the VA has no authority to mandate the COVID shots. Federal employees are also protected by the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, forcing any person to receive one of the COVID injections is a violation of federal law. It's shocking that our federal agency would brazenly violate federal law, he said. The CDC director now, Rochelle Walensky, is that how she pronounces his name?
Mm-hmm.
Suggests that a vaccine passport style system might be implemented in the United States amid the COVID-19 pandemic. When asked in a TV interview Wednesday about whether the United States would mandate a European-style health pass system for nightclubs, bars, and et cetera, Walensky said that may very well be the path forward. And this is interesting. A middle school teacher in Massachusetts, this is the topic of a column I've just written for The Wanderer.
We'll have to read that.
Was fired for informing parents that their two children had decided to become transgender. A Massachusetts middle school teacher with a spotless 20-year record is being fired by the principal and superintendent. Teachers and guidance counselors at the school began to introduce transgender ideas into children. They told the children to decide their preferred pronouns and persuaded them that they might have been born the wrong sex.
Yes, now, I was horrified by this story, by the way. I have so many questions, so we should probably do a show
on it. I'm going to try and get these people on for next week.
So many questions.
The interesting thing is the middle school principal who fired this teacher, she was just named the middle school teacher of middle school principal of the year from Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother issue, because she probably is very woke, and the people that voted her that award probably admire those qualities.
That's right. That's right. And it looks like they're kind of trapping children into transgender ideology.
Not just trapping them, but exposing them to such confusing things that children have no business being involved in. We need to teach math and science, honestly.
I'll send you over my column when it's written before it's published.
I always love reading it.
Yeah.
I encourage all of our listeners to also read his columns. They're so good.
Let's end with our prayer here. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
That's it for today. For Gene and myself, thank you for listening. Join us next week for another edition of Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Until then, have a blessed and peaceful week.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano. Faith on Trial, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, iowacatholicradio.com, and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.